Welcome to the Fearless Future podcast. I'm your host, Catherine McCourt, transformational life and business coach. Today, I'm speaking with Kara Nicole Bitar, who is an optimization coach and Kundalini yoga teacher. She helps her clients live the happiest, healthiest, and most successful versions of themselves. She holds a JD from Duke University School of Law and worked in high-stakes corporate litigation at one of the largest law firms in the Southeast. She combines the dedication and commitment that it took to become a successful attorney, real-life training in what it takes to succeed at high levels, and extensive research, experience, and training in how to optimize our lives. She is also a KRI-certified instructor of Kundalini Yoga, Reiki Master, certified Theta Healing Practitioner, and certified Soul Realignment Practitioner. I invited Kara onto the show because she emulates what this podcast is about. People who have created transformation in their life, how they've overcome challenges and obstacles to do that, and how to rebuild from a place of authenticity. So welcome to the show, Kara. It's such a pleasure to have you on today to share your story. And I think the audience will really enjoy it.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I was really excited to invite you on the show because you have a definite story of transformation in your life, which is where we'll begin. And talking about, you were a lawyer first and foremost, and in fact, a litigator. And you since have transformed your life into coaching and Kundalini yoga. So I'd love for you to share with us what your journey has been. What brought you to becoming a lawyer? Was it a passion or you felt a purpose in it? Maybe we should start there.
Yeah. So I decided when I was in like fifth grade that I wanted to be an attorney. So this was something that was this kind of lifelong goal of mine. And it was something that I took very seriously and I was really committed to. And I worked really hard to that end. And so like I graduated highest honors from high school. I graduated summa cum laude from college. I published in a law journal while I was an undergrad in college. And then I went on to Duke University's School of Law on a scholarship. And I published while I was there. And then I was recruited by, and I did take a job with one of the largest law firms in the Southeast. And so this really was this kind of lifelong goal of mine. In terms of why this was a lifelong goal of mine, I think, if you would have asked me, you know, throughout this process, I would have had all of these great reasons as to why being an attorney was this really kind of noble, good thing.
Yes.
But, you know, I now realize, and I realized at some point after I left my job, that why I actually had this lifelong goal really didn't have anything to do with being an attorney. It really had to do with me trying to make myself valuable and worthy. And so, you know, it's not like I have this great reason why I had this lifelong goal. It really didn't come from this really true place. It really came from a place of lack, but I didn't realize that most of my life. So,
yeah. And you're not alone in that. I think there are a lot of people in this world. I myself have had to recheck and say, why am I really after this? Or why is it that I'm really on this path and wanting to achieve XYZ, whatever that may be? So I love that vulnerability in this that you were able to recognize. So what were some of the things that were actually happening? If you could describe some of the things that were happening that started making you consider, well, maybe this isn't really what I want to continue doing, you know, life long term in my career.
Yeah. So it was like I worked and prepared my whole life for this. And I get it. You know, I get it.
And you were very successful, clearly.
Successful. I got the big time job. I was making a lot of money. I was doing this really significant legal work. And in addition to that legal work, I was for the corporate side. So as a corporate litigator, also doing a lot of pro bono work for victims of domestic violence. And I was eventually named head of that project. And so I really had, I think, what would be considered this very like meaningful work that I was doing. this challenging work, this interesting work. I felt respected by my colleagues. And, you know, it took some time to feel like I had proved myself at that firm. But I did get to the point where I was like, okay, you know, I feel like I've established myself somewhat, you know, here as being like, they respect me. They appreciate me. And it was like, I know now that I can be an attorney. I can do it and I can do a good job at it. And then in addition to having this professional success, you know, I was making a pretty good amount of money. And so I had this really charming home in the city that like we remodeled, and it was like, you know, everything I wanted in a home. And I had this beautiful wardrobe. And, you know, it was like, if you were to look at my life on paper, it just looked like it was perfect.
Right. And a lot of what people aspire to, right? Like you say, yeah, like the beautiful home in a nice urban center, having the clothes, maybe a nice car, whatever that may look like. But mm-hmm. a lot of people, that's what we work hard on our careers for, you know, that aspiration of having these beautiful things in our lives.
Yeah. And so it was like, so I get to this point where it's like, okay, I have everything that I thought I wanted. You know, I have everything that I've worked so hard for. I have everything that I've planned for. And I was deeply unhappy. And it was this like confusing thing, right? Because it's like, how can I have everything that I thought I wanted? How can I have everything that society told me was so important and was going to make me happy, right? How can I have all of that and be so deeply unhappy, so deeply unfulfilled? And, you know, at first,
was there a sense of guilt in that? Sometimes I know, like with my coaching clients, sometimes it's a guilt thing that shows up where it's like, you know, because people aspire to have what they have achieved, they feel guilty not being happy for having it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I blamed myself. Like, something's wrong with me. I should be happy and I'm not. You know, like I had these kind of like, well, maybe I'm just a miserable person, right? Like maybe I'm just, or there's something wrong with me, or why am I looking around and other people seem like they're doing okay and like I'm not. And even though I say that, no one thought that I was struggling in the way I was struggling. You know, it's like I became this really good actor. And
yes.
So it was like, this was a very internal thing that I was going through, but internally I was miserable and blaming myself. Absolutely.
And so when that was going on, what were the things that you were considering to help move yourself through it? If anything, were you considering, you know, what might help you figure this out, or what might help you sort this feeling of disconnect from your job now?
Yeah. So I did try different things. So I was pretty busy. I worked quite a bit.
Yeah.
But in the time that I had, I would be like, you know, listening to different thought leaders, listening, you know, trying to kind of find something out. Any free time I had, it'd be like acupuncture, Reiki, you know, going, trying different healing modalities. You know, I was really trying to understand why I didn't feel good and what was going on. And it was like, I would do those things and they might give me a momentary lift. Like, oh, I feel better now that I just did that, you know, but then it would just all kind of come crashing down. Like there was no, it wasn't lasting.
It's like, oh, you have a hard week and, you know, it all comes back. It's almost like when you work really hard throughout the year and then you take a vacation and it starts feeling really good near the end of the vacation, but then you come back and it's like everything's stripped away because you fall back into, you know, the daily life or the daily grind. And then you say, wow, it doesn't even feel like I went on vacation.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Yeah. So it was like this, I'd get these moments of temporary, ooh, I feel better. But yeah, was not lasting.
So you've mentioned in your story about Kundalini yoga really being a part of this transformation for you. Was that really the key nugget that got you to look deeper within versus you know, trying things to help manage the symptoms?
So Kundalini yoga was something that I found. I didn't find it until about a year and a half after I left my job. So,
okay.
In that year and a half after I left my job, I tried so many different things. I had made it really my full-time job to try to figure out, you know, could I have a different experience of life? And also, could I bring my body into a state of health? Because it was not in a good state of health. I didn't realize that while I was working. I actually didn't realize that until after I left my job. So Kundalini yoga really, it was something that I was really looking for this more. I was really trying to go deep and find what was really going on. And I trained a number of modalities. I volunteered at clinics so that I could practice the modalities myself on people. I read, I researched, I tried all sorts of different diets. I tried things like saunas and floats, and I was, you know, reading and taking programs and like everything you think of, it was like I was doing in that year and a half. And after I left my job, then at that year and a half mark, I found myself in worse health than I was before. I found myself feeling worse because it was like, you know, there was this thing in me like, okay, I'm not happy right now in my job and I'm not happy in the place that I'm at. But if I tried something different, right? Like if I tried, I think I could have a different experience. Like maybe there's like this shred of hope, right?
Yes.
But after trying something, after trying all these different things and basically dedicating my life to this for a year and a half and only to be in a situation where actually I feel worse. And I was in worse health, objectively worse health. It was really this like such a dark time in my life because that shred of hope, it was gone. It was like, this thing I'm searching for, this life I think I maybe possibly could lead, it is not available. That is not what life is, right? And so it was right at that kind of that year and a half mark that I happened upon Kundalini yoga. And it was the turning point for me.
Okay. Can we just back up for one moment and talk about, so it was a full year and a half that you still were continuing to feel awful and try and find outlets to help create some better fulfillment maybe or happiness or joy within your life. But what was really the catalyst that brought you to the point of saying, I'm giving up this career that you, A, were truly successful at, but worked so hard to get to that level and recognition? What was the catalyst that made you say, you know, fuck it, I'm done and I'm going to go, you know, on a different path, even though I might not know what that looks like yet?
Yeah. So it was really something that it didn't happen overnight. It was like this kind of, it just kind of kept like, I kept trying to make that job work. I kept trying to like make myself happy, right? I kept like being like, this is going to work. You know, like I worked my whole life for this. And I'm making a lot of money and like, this is going to work, right? And it's like, I kept trying different things to make it work and different things to make myself happy and, you know, trying to be positive and try like all the things, right?
Yeah.
But
or like one day's good. So you feel like, oh, okay, yeah, I do have this. This is fine. I've got it.
Yep.
But yeah, within 24 hours, that could change.
Right. So it finally got to the point where it's like something has to change in my life. Like I don't want my life to continue like this. I don't want to keep feeling terrible like this. I don't want to keep feeling like I go to bed at night and I hope that I don't wake up in the morning. You know, I don't want to keep feeling this way. And, you know, it was like, I didn't have this great clarity because it was like, wait, I have this great job, but yet I feel terrible. But yet the job is like the biggest thing in my life. Right. So it's like, there's this kind of like, well, you know, maybe the job is the problem, right? Maybe if I worked less, I would, you know, maybe I would feel differently or have a different experience. So it's just, I didn't have great mental clarity. It was just like, I just got to the point where I was like, something has to change. I don't want my life to keep being like this. And I think what made it even more difficult for me was that I left that job when I finally did leave it. I left it without a plan. So, if I wanted to get another job, say doing something different in the law world, I had a great resume. I had connections. That firm would have helped me get another job.
Right.
But there was something in me that was like, you know, it's going to be different faces, different places. I'm going to feel the same. And so it was like, I had this conflict in a way going on. I didn't have a lot of mental clarity. And when I finally got up the courage to leave that job, which quite frankly took me years, it felt surreal. And I felt like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done. This is the craziest thing I've ever done.
And I'm sure people told that to you too. It's like, what are you doing leaving this amazing career?
Yeah, it's like you've worked for this your whole life and you're good at it.
Right.
You're good at it. So yes. why would you, you know, leave? And you have a job that most people will never get. They'll never get that
right.
job. And I felt it just felt surreal to me. And I felt like a complete failure for leaving that job. But it was so interesting. It was like, even though I had all of these feelings of like, don't do this, this is crazy, you're a failure, it's like there was this other part of me that was like, something has to change, make some sort of change. And the job is a bit like, leave this job. Like there was something in me that was like, leave. Yeah. Like, so I did it. It was not great mental clarity. And it wasn't like I just had this like, oh, now I'm going to do it. And I feel so empowered by it. And like, no,
right.
None of that.
Yeah. And often that happens, but it's really like, I think one of the key points here is that you were feeling all these things. You knew that you weren't at your optimal health. You weren't feeling that fulfilled. Something was telling you that something had to change and you listened, where you can't tell someone ever, like if your friends saw that all happening to you, and saying, hey, Kara, maybe you should think about leaving your job. You'd probably say, no way. Why would I leave this? I worked so hard for it. I'm, you know, obviously being rewarded for it. I've achieved so much, but it got to a point where you were ready and you listened to yourself. And I think that's really key for the audience is to, you'll know when you're ready. And it's when you start, it's obvious that you are hearing within yourself that it's time.
Yeah.
So let's talk about then Kundalini yoga was this transformative thing for you and a key piece to you starting to rebuild who you are in a sense. So talk to us about why that is. Maybe start with what is Kundalini yoga, because I don't know that everybody does know what it is, and share with us how that really helped you transform.
Yeah. So I had done yoga for years. I actually woke up at 4 a.m. every morning when I was working.
Wow.
And I did yoga and I, you know, meditated, did all the things, right? And I had never heard of Kundalini yoga. And I found it. I took a class. The class seemed odd to me. Like, I was like, what are we doing? This is weird. But after that class, I felt different. Like I felt something different. And so I kept taking classes and I didn't understand at the time, you know, why Kundalini yoga was having such an impact on me. I just knew that it was. And it really wasn't until I went into the teacher training, which I went into not to teach it. I went into it to be like, why is this helping me so much? Like, I want to know more about this. It wasn't until I went into that I started to understand it more and I started to understand, oh, this is why this is having such an impact on me. And while I say this, I also just want to say, I do think we have some understanding of Kundalini yoga and why it works. And there have been studies done on it showing its effectiveness. But I actually think that we are just catching up to why it actually works. Like, I think there's way more to it than we understand why it works as well as it does. But So what Kundalini yoga is it uses postures and poses. Some of those postures and poses do look similar to what you might see in, I think when people generally think of yoga, they think of like a hatha yoga, like these beautiful postures that people are moving in and out of and flowing in and out of. It depends where you're at. Like on the West Coast, there's certainly more Kundalini yoga than there is where I live on the East Coast. So Kundalini yoga does use postures and poses. Some of them look similar to what you would see in hatha yoga, but many of them look very different. And in addition to the postures and poses, it uses a lot of different types of breathing. So there's a lot of breathing in Kundalini yoga and different breathing techniques that are used. And in addition to that, it uses hand positions because our hands are connected to different parts of our brain. It uses eye positions. Like you can use eye positions to stimulate the pituitary gland, to stimulate the glandular system. It uses relaxation. It uses meditation. And it also uses sound currents. So it uses mantra, these sound currents that are at certain vibratory frequencies and that do certain things in the body. And so it does look quite different from, I think, what most people are used to seeing in a yoga class, certainly different from what I was used to seeing. But what it's doing is, so we are these dynamic and complex beings. We are not just physical. And so Kundalini yoga, it is working the physical body. And in addition to working the physical body, it's working critical systems of the physical body, like the nervous system and the glandular system, which was something I had never, quite frankly, even thought of. I never even thought of like these things to like balance and calibrate my nervous system. Because my nervous system, I have to tell you, was way out of balance. Yes. And I didn't know I could imagine. Do things.
I was going to say, I could imagine because I've suffered a massive burnout in my life that lasted quite a long time. Like you said, you don't necessarily maybe recognize how unhealthy you are because you're doing all the things that make you feel like you're being healthy, like you get your workout in or your yoga in. Maybe you meditate, you know, you're getting physical activity, eating healthy food, but it doesn't always mean that you are at your optimal health. So I totally get that.
Yeah. Yeah. My nervous system was way out of balance. I didn't realize they could do things to work my glandular system. I didn't realize that, you know, I wasn't thinking like, you know what, I really need to work my nervous system and glandular system, but it was what I needed, you know?
Yes.
And so Kundalini yoga is very focused on these critical systems of the body, but in addition to working the physical body, it's also working you from an emotional level. It's helping to release suppressed emotions. It's helping you to deal with current emotions. It's working the mind. It's helping you to control and direct your mind, helping one to release old subconscious beliefs and patterns and programs. And it's working on an energetic level. So it's looking at our energetic bodies, like the chakra system, the electromagnetic field, the aura, right? And in the yogic sciences, in the Kundalini yoga system, you have 10 bodies. You don't just have the physical body.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it's working all of this. What it's really doing is it's like it's looking at us as these complex and dynamic beings. And it's working all parts of us in one practice. And so when I started to understand this, it was like, oh, no wonder this is having such an impact on me.
Yes, not just working one part, like you say, of the body. It's really a holistic, almost re-maintenance or renewing of what's going on inside.
Yeah, and what I would also add is what Kundalini yoga is ultimately doing is it's tapping a person into them. Into who they are, into the knowing that they hold within, into the creativity that they hold within. But it's like to really tap into that, you know, if we're in a body that's completely out of balance, that's going to make that really hard. If our mind is just running on autopilot, we're not able to control and direct it, that's going to make that really hard. You know, if we are holding all of these suppressed emotions in our cells, in our body, in our electromagnetic field, and that's just like clogging and congesting and confusing things, that's going to make that really hard, you know? And so It's like all of these things, what it's ultimately doing, it's not just simply about like, let's bring a person out of a state of disease. It's far more than that. It's, like, it's about tapping a person into who they are and really the knowing that they hold within.
Yes. Beautiful. So through your journey of, you know, all that you experienced, recognizing the physical impact of not being fulfilled, as well as the mental capacity that you had, or the mental capacity changes that were happening for you from a career standpoint, and just being able to leave that. I mean, in coaching, we talk a lot about having to let go of things, whether good or bad, to be able to move to the next level of yourself. And you certainly have done that. So what would you say has been the most important lesson that you have learned through your journey and experience in that?
The most important thing that I've learned is the key to all really being fulfilled, to being happy, to what I would say, you know, being in abundance, like being all these things that people want. The key to this is knowing who you are and how you function. The thing is that I was highly educated. Yes. And I didn't understand who I was and how I functioned. Right. And so it's like, and I think too, in this experience that we're in, we're very external focused. Like, go learn history. Go learn all this stuff outside of you, right? Go learn about the law. Go learn. It's like most people have no idea how to control and direct their own minds. They don't understand yes. how their own minds work. I didn't. My mind was just like running amok pretty much right. all the time. Thoughts of fear, thoughts of unworthiness, thoughts of, I'm not good enough, right?
Yes.
And the other thing, it's like, you know, when I say it's like to understand who we are and how we function, I did not understand that I was a unique being and I had my own set of gifts and talents. I didn't understand this. I didn't know this. And so what I did was, it was like, I was just like, okay, I am coming from a place of feeling very unworthy and very not valuable. I grew up in a small town. And in my mind, there were like two noble professions in the world, lawyer and doctor. And I chose lawyer. Right.
Right.
It didn't. And it's like, that is like, it's like, what's the noble profession to do? Or what's the thing that's going to make you money? Or what's the thing that's going to look prestigious? It's like, what is the thing that is expressing you? What is the thing where you're expressing your unique gifts and talents? What is the thing where you're expressing your own creativity? Like, that's the thing that's going to fulfill you. But more than that, this is another thing that I didn't understand. And obviously, there's a complexity to us and how we function. But when you're expressing your gifts and talents, that's how you actually get your energy. And so if someone's walking around in a state of depletion, which is what I was in, it was like I was just like working really hard and depleting myself. And I did produce a result by doing that.
Right.
But it came at a price.
Yes.
If you're operating from a place of your gifts and talents, if that's what you're expressing in the world, you're putting out, like you're putting out effort. You're doing things that actually energizes you. It doesn't deplete you. And so it's like these things, I did not understand them. As highly educated as I am, and as much time as I spent in school, it's like, I didn't understand myself. I didn't understand things about my body. Like, oh, it's really important that you have a balanced and calibrated nervous system. So it's like, if you want to experience something that feels really good to you, your nervous system has to be calibrated to that. If it isn't, you won't experience it. Like, it was these things that I didn't understand. And it was so like, it was me coming into this understanding. This is what changed my life and continues to change it. And it's just, to me, it's just so interesting that we spend so much time being educated, right? And yet it's like, if you were to ask me, like, do you understand how to control and direct your mind? Do you understand really what your mind is doing? Do you understand your gifts and talents? Do you understand how you get energy in the world? Do you understand how you step into abundance? It's like, I think I would have said like, yeah, I think I understand myself, or I think I understand, you know, it's like you work hard, you make money, you whatever, right?
Yes.
But that's not what it is. And so I would offer, as much as I think most people might say, like, I understand who I am and I understand how I function. And I think I would have said that too. If you're living in states of depletion, stress, overwhelm, you actually have misunderstandings about who you are and how you function. Like, this is not our fundamental nature. And I think, you know, too, for me, it was like there was this very pervasive messaging that, like, life is hard.
It's,
you're busy and you get depleted and you work really hard and you sacrifice and you're tired and you're stressed and disease is just normal. And what I would offer is, no, it isn't. It's been normalized, but it's not our fundamental nature. It's not who we are. And so it's like, too, it's like people think like, oh, I do understand who I am. It's just not that great. Right?
Yes.
Like, it's not who you are. You're someone very different. And so yeah, for sure. That's the most, I would say that was the transformative thing and the most valuable thing that has come from this for me.
So awesome. Just to be able to get to this place now to where you are. And, you know, a lot of what you were describing, when we hang out with other people that are in the same momentum that we are, in those negative spaces, meaning the ultra burnout, the stress, the, you know, ambition, when you hang out with the same people, you think it's normal. And I remember so clearly my GP, just my doctor one day, after just like routine tests and stuff, and he said, "Do you feel okay?" Because I was like, oh, you know, like I'm running half marathons. I work out all the time. I eat really healthy. You know, sure, I try and get sleep. Maybe I'll take a nap on the weekend if I need to that week. But he's like, but are you really feeling okay? Because he could just tell that, you know, although I thought I was living a very regular life, meaning that working in a way that I felt I was accomplishing things and I was achieving things, and I thought I was taking care of my health, the signs of my tests were very different, showing him that there was, you know, depletion in things like iron or things like that. So I love that you bring that up because it's true. Society has taught us that this is just the way life is. And if you're not feeling like life is challenging or you're not, you know, utilizing every minute of your day and still feel you need more time, then you're not living life normally. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
So share with us now, like, where are you at and what it is that you are now doing as a career?
Yeah. So Kundalini yoga was this turning point for me. And what it really did for me was really what I talked about. It tapped me into me. It's like the clarity started to come, the knowing started to come. And I started to look back at all of the things that I had done, how I had lived my life and all the things I had tried that, you know, didn't work for me. And I started to see like, oh, like this is why this didn't work. And what if I did this? And what if I did this? And then, oh, how about this? And so it was like, I started to bring myself to even greater levels of clarity. I started to transform my life even more. And as I started, as these kind of understandings started to come to me, I started to wonder, well, I wonder if I shared this with other people, I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen in their life.
Yeah.
You know, because it's working for me.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I started to see like, okay, this isn't just a meet, like this works. These are fundamental understandings that if people have, their lives will change. And so that's really what led me into, I created optimization programs and now I coach and I also teach Kundalini yoga. And I've started to see like people can have such a different experience of life, such a dramatically different experience of life.
Yes.
If they really understand who they are and how they function, and if they really tap into that, and if they really, you know, what I found too is like really tapping into you, having a coach, having somebody with a different vantage point than you. It's invaluable. And it really moves the dial so much more effectively. And I would say sometimes the dial won't move at all if you don't kind of have a different vantage point, right? And so, yeah, I mean, quite frankly, like what I'm doing now has surprised me. I mean, I never saw this coming, but yeah, it's what I'm doing now. I'm helping people so that they're really stepping into who they are and living lives that they love, living lives where they are expressing their own creativity, where they're seeing the magnificence of this experience and reveling in it. And so, yeah, it's like I said, it surprised even me, but talk about something that has fulfilled me like this. This is fulfilling me in really deep ways.
Yeah. So who would you describe as your ideal client? Have you niched it out to, you know, maybe you're helping lawyers specifically tap in more to their authentic self and find more purpose in what they're doing? Or who is your ideal client?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. And I think when I started, it really was people like in the medical and legal profession that I was, that tended to come to me. That has changed. And so I feel like now what I'm seeing is it's people who, it's like there's something in them that's telling them there's something more for you and they want it. They're like, there is something more for me. I may really doubt that there is something more for me, but it's like there's something in them that's like the life I'm currently living, even though it may or even sometimes may not look good on paper, something is missing and I know it and I feel it, but at the same time, I'm doubting it, right? You know, it's like kind of that.
Yes.
But yeah, those are the people that have really come to me and the people who are ready to, I think, you know, step into something different, step into a different experience of life and an experience that, you know, might look different than what other people are experiencing. But at the same time, it's like, it's not like the people that I'm coaching are like me, like, I'm just going to leave my job. And a lot of them are, they're in their jobs. And we're working within that space for them to have a very different experience, because that is absolutely possible.
Yes. And that is something, like, I think, you know, life coaching is becoming more popular, I'd say, over the last couple of years, certainly with the pandemic. I think there are a lot more people who have reached out to coaching or at least looked into it to familiarize themselves. I think there's still a very large population that wonders what coaching is, meaning, is it going to manipulate me into something that is not right for me? Whereas, you know, coaching, well, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. There's good industry players and not so great industry players. But in coaching, you hope to find coaches that is their true mandate, is to help you become your authentic self. And there is no underlying outcome that they're looking for other than that. So,
yeah,
I love your story. I think, you know, how you're helping people is really encouraging. And, what would you say to people? So you say like you're working with people who are working. And I think that's another misconception, is like coaches aren't going to tell you to quit your job. And if they do, like who knows what scenario it is, but you should maybe really pay attention to why they would tell you that, because they really shouldn't be telling you that. But what have you seen as, I guess, biggest challenge for those who are working somewhere where they're not necessarily fulfilled? You're helping them on this path of rediscovery. What is usually the challenge for them, or what's the point, the tipping point for them almost, of when they feel like, wow, I might have to really make a decision here?
Yeah, so it's so interesting. The people I've worked with, I've seen them have a very different experience of the jobs that they're in.
Yeah.
So, which is such a great thing, right? It's like not like you have to do what I did and walk away from everything that you've worked for. And in some instances, the jobs that people are in are expressive of their gifts and talents, or can be. But like once those people realize, so one of the things I do in my programs is I do these sessions where we identify with clarity a person's gifts and talents and how they're structured to thrive. And so it's like once they have that understanding, you have so much more clarity. Okay, well, I'm in this job. if I'm expressing, you know, this, this, and this, I'm going to feel so much different in this job, right? And so there's a lot of, I would say, individuality to this. But, you know, what I offer is right where you are now, you can have a different experience. And that the key to having that different experience really is you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the circumstances that you're in. You know, part of me blamed my job, but part of me didn't. It was like,
yes.
Which was why I was like, if I go to a different job, it's going to be the same. There was this internal knowing I had that the job isn't the problem. And it wasn't. The job
right.
wasn't the problem. It was me not understanding who I was. And so I just think it really varies from person to person. But the common kind of factor is when you understand who you are and how you function and you really step wholeheartedly into that, it's like, if you're going to leave your job, you would know it. And the other opportunity
yes.
would be there for you, right? Or you'll be in the job you're in and it will totally change for you, right? It's
yes.
It's really all about you and focusing
yes.
on you and understanding you. And when you do that, it's like you really don't have to worry about the other stuff. It will unfold.
Yes. And it's pretty amazing because I imagine you see this all the time, like you're explaining, like it's sometimes things within the job that don't align with their gifts and how they remain energized and contribute. Other times, you know, I often find I work with people who think they need to leave their job or want to leave their job. And then by the end of our program, they're like, wow, I actually fell back in love with what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
with a different approach,
mm-hmm.
which I find so beautiful to see that come out of it.
Yeah.
Are you working with individuals? Do you work with businesses? Like, what's the process maybe in how people would work with you?
So I do work with individuals. I really, for me, like, I really believe in one-on-one coaching. I think there's so much value in that. And so I work with individuals. I have two programs that I offer. And the reason I offer the programs, it includes one-on-one coaching. The reason I set it up as a program, so there's recorded information in the program, like 12 weeks of recorded information in each program. There's access to Kundalini yoga, plus I customize it for the person. And then I do these sessions where we really do a deep dive into and we identify with clarity, here are your gifts and talents. And I set it up that way because when I was working, it was like I felt like I had very little to no extra time to do anything. And so I created
right.
programs in a way that no matter how busy you are, these programs will be effective and be efficient and will meet you in that place. And so like the recorded information to me was really important because it's just really efficient. Let me just lay
yes.
this stuff out for you. I'm not going to explain it to you in a session. I know like you're busy. Like, let me just lay this
yes.
all out for you. You can listen to it as much as you want. You can listen to it while you're cooking dinner or driving or whatever.
yeah.
But then at the same time, I do the one-on-one coaching just because I just haven't found a substitute for that. I just think really my programs are about a deep dive into you. It's all
yes.
about you. And I think having a coach who, like, I get to know my clients so that we can do that deep dive into them and
yes.
so that they can come to trust me and I can come to understand like what's happening. And that vantage point, having that vantage point is, yeah, I just haven't found a substitute for it. So yeah, I do work individually. I structured it as programs because I found that to be the most effective and efficient way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, coming from what I came from, feeling like I just had, I mean, I build in 6-minute increments, right? So it's like every minute of my day mattered. And so I wanted to make something that was like, no matter how busy you are, this will fit seamlessly into your life. It's not going to be this like, oh, I have to do that. Like, it's not like that at all.
So great. Okay. So where can people find you and connect with you? Are you on social media? You have a website, I imagine.
Yeah. So my website is KaraNicoleBitar.com. And so it's my name, my social media, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, they're all Kara Nicole Bitar. So that's KaraNicoleBitar. And so you can find me in any of those places.
Beautiful. Is there anything or last things you'd like to share? Something maybe we didn't talk about that you were hoping to share with the audience today?
So I think I think, I mean, we touched on this, but I would reiterate it. I had all of these things in my life that I thought were priorities. Like, these are my priorities in life. Like, I had these priorities of, you know, get good grades, get a good job, make a lot of money, do something prestigious. And what I would offer to people is make your absolute number one priority knowing you, like knowing who you are and how you function. I mean, this is the thing that is going to bring to you the fulfillment, the joy, the abundance. Like, this is the thing that's going to bring to you all the things that you're wanting. And I know this because I know the other stuff doesn't do it. It doesn't mean right. The stuff doesn't matter, but that isn't the thing that's going to bring you, like, that house, that car, you know, spending all this time working really hard so you can make money to have this, like, beautiful house and beautiful car. Like, I've done that. It will give you, like, a moment of, like, whoa, this feels good, right? But it pales in comparison. And it's like, you don't know what you don't know, right? And so it's like,
right.
You know, the job I was in, I think there's this level of, well, this is, like, as good as life gets. And I was even told that by people. Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Like, okay, like, you're not happy, but, like, listen, this is just what life is. Like, we have a good job, we make a lot of money, you know? Like, you know, you might not be passionate about your life, but, like, this is just what life is, right? And so, but you can have such a different experience. And I look back at my life and I just think, it's like I've lived two lifetimes in one life.
Yeah.
And I think, oh my goodness, I could have missed this. I could have missed this. I could have missed all of this. My life has so dramatically transformed how I see life, how I see myself. It's like this experience now, this experience that I wanted before to leave. Like, I hoped that I, like, didn't, like, please let me wake up in the morning. I don't want to do this anymore, you know? And now I'm like in awe of this experience. I'm in awe of, quite frankly, myself and my own abilities. I feel like the things in my life, like my husband, like, I never really even saw him before.
Right.
And, like, now I actually do. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. It's like, how good can I feel? Like, that's the question I want people to be asked. Like, how good can I feel? And it's like, but I would offer, if you don't understand you, if you don't understand your fundamental nature and how you function, you're not going to feel as good as you can feel. You're not going to have the experience you could have. And so I would say, make that your absolute number one priority. And if that scares you or you doubt that, I would say take the risk. It is worth it. You know, it's like, again, you don't know until you experience it. But yeah, I would say make that your number one priority.
Yeah, take the risk. Love it. Well, Kara, it's been such a pleasure to have you on today. I really love you sharing your story of transformation and sharing where you are today. I'll have all of your contacts in the show notes so people can get in touch if they're interested in learning more about what you do. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for tuning in. New episodes drop each week, and I'd love your support on this mission to intrigue and help others bound fearlessly into their future. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe and share a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work. want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. All you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week. Fearless Future Podcast is made possible by platforms such as Buzzsprout and Riverside FM. If you're interested in starting your own podcast, Buzzsprout is a great place to start, to host, promote, and begin tracking your podcast. They have a 360-degree service and a ton of videos to help you get set up, choose the right equipment, and how to monetize your podcast. Their customer service is the quickest and most reliable to keep you growing and never stall your creative output. It's a super easy platform to use and connect your podcast to all major platforms for listeners to find you. So ready to launch your podcast? Go ahead and use the Buzzsprout link that I put in the show notes and receive a $20 Amazon gift card after your second paid invoice. Riverside FM is my studio platform that allows me to schedule and invite guests into a professional and interactive studio. You can have one or multiple guests, and it records separate tracks for ease in editing and creating clips. It's an intuitive platform that makes your videos look great and improves any sound quality, including sound effects. Follow the links in the show notes to review if these platforms can work for you. Want a secret for editing? Check out the Descript link that I put in the show notes. This is the easiest platform I've ever used to edit podcasts or any type of audio or video. So yes, you can upload video. You can get the transcript. All you have to do is edit the transcript and you're done. Super easy. Check it out. All the best on your journey and have a fantastic week.